The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Enjoy ultra-fast speeds up to 10 times faster than Sky's standard broadband.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's a bright and breezy Monday morning. It's the 27th of September 2021 and it's 4 minutes past nine. And we're here till 10 o'clock. Great to have you with us. And you can text away on 51551 or you can email ryan at rte.ie. What a lovely weekend. I mean, overall, not very hectic, not too much pressure all around in my life, thank goodness. But I will say it was done to the soundtrack of some other things going on in the world. Like the Ryder Cup was thereabouts. And even if I wasn't necessarily glued to it, it was there. I could see it. I could be having a pint and it was there. I could see a ball whizzing over my head in a way, going to or from the bar stool or the company I was in and having the crack and then saying, oh gosh, oh God, that's good. Oh no, that's not so good. But not in an invasive way, wasn't it? It never was intrusive. I find screens in pubs one of the worst things that ever happened in the world to conversation. Because I remember seeing it 1,000 years ago in a bar as a kid. And I started young. I was probably about 8 or 9. I was an Irish 80s kid. We spent a lot of time in bars. But, you know, there was a bar we went into and it was in Oranmore, beautiful Galway, where my dad was born. And we went into this bar, as we used to often do, and there were two or three fellas on the bar stools not saying a word to each other. And not in that sort of Irish soulful way, looking into the distance going, I should have married that woman. It was more looking up because there was a Formula One, which is the noisiest. And I know it's great skill and everything, but it's very noisy. There's a lot of that. And the three lads, I'd say between them, they had as much knowledge of Formula One now as I would about pretty much any subject in the world. But I remember thinking about that young age going, isn't that terrible? If they just turn that thing off, they may be forced to look at each other and say, how's things? You all right? Yeah, not so bad. Actually, I wanted to tell you something. But that TV, I think TV is the greatest. Unless there's a big event. If there's a big match and we're all dying to watch, of course. But just senseless on a Saturday when no one really wants it on. I mean, That's not so good. So the Ryder Cup was one of the things that was floating around and it was disappointing for Irish eyes, but well done for giving it a shot. And there was some good stuff going on there. And, you know, that's what that was. The other thing, which is kind of my version of sport in some ways, is politics. And I was kind of keeping a close eye on the German elections. I find that very interesting. 16 years of Angela Merkel. She's been, you know, a lot of people, they wouldn't have known another Chancellor, as they were saying this morning, more earlier on, they only had her, you know, her in their life, and she's gone, and it throws up just all this possibilities of, you know, an imbalance in the force because she was considered to be very stable and she held the German story together, and the German story, as we all know, is a fragile one, and she did a great job, it seems, if you were watching it from afar, and now they're going, so who's the new guy? Because it's going to be a guy, and it'll be a three-way coalition by the looks of things, so it more potential for instability for the European project. And, you know, so I found myself very engaged by that story. So that was going on. And then people this morning talking a lot about kin last night. That's also another big event. What's happening in kin? Why are they whispering? What church was that? How can Dublin look so beautiful? You know, a lot of love for kin this morning. I'll get into all of these as we're going along today because we've got loads of different things. I introduced my eldest to The Omen. I mean, what else would you do on a Sunday afternoon? We had a beautiful walk and I said, have you never seen The Omen? Come on, you got to watch The Omen. The Omen is, it's campy, hammy, brilliant. And those dogs, what are the dogs in the Doberman? Are they Doberman? But they are ferociously scary dogs. I was saying only after the film, I think those dogs got bad PR from The Omen, because if you go for a walk in the park and you see one of those looking at you, he's slobbering, and it could be slobbering, happy slobber, but after The Omen, that slobber is only going to be the devil slobber, you know, Beelze slobber. Like, it's not going to be a happy story. You're just not going to say, who's a little puppy? You're just going to go, that's the devil's dog. He personally owns that. So bad press for that, but great old movie. They cast the faces so well. You know, Billy Whitelaw plays the kind of psychotic nanny. And she just looks so unnervingly freaky. Gregory Peck, of course, who my oldest had only ever seen really as Atticus Finch. She'd go, what's happening? What's happening? It's all changed. And Lee Remick. I think Lee Remick was the lead ape in Planet of the Apes in the originals, if I'm not mistaken. And so she's in it too. Anyway, the omen was good. But I had been to the cinema the day before to see the... I was so excited to see the Sopranos prequel, The Many Saints of Newark. I just finished the 6 seasons of The Sopranos. And I'm looking at this. And I got to the cinema. It was about 4:30. That's great. I was on my own. Delighted. Loved that. Had my popcorn and Coke, literally like a child. Excited. Very, very excited. Sat down, said, there's no one else here. This is the best. I loved it. I don't really go to premieres and stuff like that. I don't like the fuss of it. I love the solitude of the cinema experience. I sat down. I think at one stage I clapped and rubbed my hands going, here we are. This is it. Here it comes. The Sopranos prequel. Give it to me. I have no judgment. I want to just see it for my own. And on it comes. And it's starting. It's going great. And then in come a lovely couple. And they sit down, looking at the empties, and they sit down right behind me. Like the place is empty. And now, right behind me, this very nice couple. And they're enjoying the movie. And why wouldn't they? Because, and then I presumed it was because their tickets are allocated. And unfortunately, they were just allocated. We're right behind them. We got the COVID. We've got to be careful. Anyway, it was the Rottweilers, not Doberman. Let's get that right. Sorry, Rottweilers, of course. Why did you get Doberman? Rottweilers, of course. Even the name, Rottweiler, would put the fear of God into you. Anyway, back to the seat, sitting down, having the crack. And then my two friends sit behind me. These people I've never met before, obviously. And I was going to say it when, if the lights went on, like the end of the disco going, and the lights came on. And I was going to say, well, what do you think? Because the film was dreadful, absolutely dreadful. It was the most disappointing film of the year. The plot was all over the place. God, the soundtrack saved it. You give it a star for the soundtrack, but the rest of it, no, not to be recommended. Unfortunately, don't know what they were thinking. They literally lost the plot. And I don't say literally too freely, but they did. It was off. And not everyone thinks that, by the way. Some people have reviewed it and said it's great. Not at all. They went to a different movie. Anyway, what happens? The emails this morning come in, and in comes an email from Susie, who says, we went to the cinema to see The Many Saints of Newark on Saturday. We went to our allotted seats. The cinema was empty, and our allotted seats were right behind yours. The couple wrote to us to say it was us. I noticed it was you, says Susie. But if I had started to try to explain to my husband that we should move, he wouldn't have understood, as he's hard of hearing. So you never know, do you? To be honest, she says, the rest of the cinema was empty, so you must have thought we did it on purpose. Anyway, sorry if we wrecked your buzz. Kind regards. You didn't wreck my buzz at all. I've just thought of all... But I was curious, and I'm sorry I didn't get to say hello to you after, but the credits went on for ages, so I just got out. Anyway, nice to meet you, is what I'm trying to say. Ryle Nugent was saying about the... our friend and commentator was talking about the Ryder Cup. Was there a swearing issue at the Ryder Cup? He said the requirement of commentators to apologise for barely audible swear words in a live sporting contest is nonsense. It needs to be cleaned up by the powers that be. I get it if it's out of context or gratuitous, but most of the time it isn't. And I suppose if you do hear cursed, and the commentators are terribly sorry, they appear to have dropped an F-bomb. Nothing we can do about it. People can be a little bit concerned about that, but maybe they're worried about kids watching. But if it's gone, it's gone. It is live, you know. As another person said in response to that, Elizabeth said, if they swore in a chat show interview, they'd get murdered for the next day. They make no allowances for the emotional element during a sporting contest also. So. PJ White wants to know, good morning, Ryan. I'm one of those people who, when watching any Dublin-based drama, focuses on the identity of every location. Shoni, I get that. I'm sure I'm not alone. Anyway, I'm seeking your help to identify the church featured in the funeral in the Kin episode last night. Impressive stained glass window. Great. PJ, that church is the Church of the Holy Spirit in Green Hills in Dublin 12. So you can go and visit that now in your spare time and say a prayer for me now, Simon de Bon, and you'll be as happy as Larry. So enjoy that. And people were saying, what about, why was she doing so much cleaning in the kitchen when your man went off to do an unpleasant job? And the reality is, some people, and you're probably listening to one of them, would be cleaning around the house in moments of anxiety. Sometimes you find yourself cleaning, going, everything's fine, everything's good. Everything's okay. Everything's spotless. And it's therapeutic. Either walk or clean. Could do a job. McFly. Tom Fletcher of McFly and Strictly Dance Partner have tested positive for COVID-19. And the BBC announced the singer and the professional dancer, Amy Dowden, had contracted the virus on yesterday afternoon. They're going to be self-isolated. That almost feels old now to be identifying like as testing positive for a TV show like that, given how careful they must have been going into it. But there they are. They're now self-isolating separately following the latest government guidelines, and they're going to both miss next week's live show. So that's the end of that. What else have we got for you? Steve Coogan, who we know from Alan Partridge and so on, is going to play Jimmy Savile in a drama of that called The Reckoning, a BBC One drama called The Reckoning. And it is a massive career decision by Steve Coogan, who is a fine actor in his own right. If you saw Philomena, you'll know that he can do the comedy, but he can also do the serious stuff. Anyway, it's a mini-series they're talking about called The Reckoning, written by Neil McKay, and will explore how Jimmy Savile got away with being the most disgusting, despicable creature of our time in that world. And Coogan says to play Jimmy Savile was not a decision I took lightly. Neil McKay has written an intelligent script tackling sensitively a horrific story, which, however harrowing, needs to be told. So that is one we'll be watching with great interest. Rory McIlroy did swear in an interview and apologised. There you are. Okay. I don't think it's the greatest crime of all time, but there you are. Some people are more sensitive to that than others. But as I say, it's probably with children about the place. Rachel Eustace, lovely tweet. People who beep at learner drivers. Are you all right? Like, is everything okay at home? That's very droll. I like that though. You're absolutely right. Who beeps at a learner driver? I mean, why would you do such a thing? I watched a trailer at the weekend for, I'm a Macbeth fan, even a groupie of the play. I love it. And Joel Coen of the Coen brothers has made this black and white adaptation of Shakespeare's Macbeth with Denzel Washington. And of course, Frances McDormand. It is Coen, it's a Coen brother, not brothers, because the other fella's out. But it's not a mud and blood adaptation set on the Scottish fields, but it's a minimalist noir nightmare, cloaked in shadow and fog, and boxed in an Academy ratio square frame, filmed with austere expressionist imagery. I think Brendan Gleeson, I spotted him in it as well, probably King Duncan, but it looks beautiful in the trailer, and I would recommend you look it up if you're looking for, if you want to see what that might look like. Angelina Jolie has been spotted out in Los Angeles once again with the singer The Weeknd. I'll just leave that there for those of you who care about that. The Conjuring House in Rhode Island could be yours for $1.2 million, and it's apparently haunted in real life. And again, I'll leave that there for you because that's for the horror fans. Could you watch The Omen 2 or did you just leave it at the one? I think it went up to 4 and a remake by an Irish guy. But I'm not sure. Maybe. And other bits and pieces there, which I'll come to a bit later on. 51551 is the text number. Let's see what you're saying in that regard. I totally agree with you. I played a solo gig on Saturday last in a pub to a crowd of people with their back to me watching the golf, with the volume muted on the large TV screen. They'd clap, a silent clap after each song while it's fixed on the screen. Great to be back doing a few gigs, lads, but come on, says Andy. Well, that's true. Well, the pub was kind of responsible a bit there. Like, they've got you singing. They should have decided it's either you or the golf, but one of you got to go. So it's either the television or the musician. Obviously, I'd prefer the musician to be there. But that's a bit odd. Ryan, is our house the only house in Ireland coming down with fruit flies? Aidan wants to know. I'm battling them using vinegar, sugar, washing up liquid. But you have a huge radio audience. Who could advise them? Oh, no. Okay, we'll take one good text on that and then out. Okay, so no, I just don't want to be clogging us up with fruit fly things. So we'll take one good one. You've got 3 minutes. And if you can, great. But it sounds like you've thrown the kitchen sink in it. Vinegar, sugar, washing up liquid. But okay, we'll handle that very swiftly and we'll move the hell on. Marion Keyes says, admission, I had the honour of being asked to be on this year's Strictly. I am sweating literal buckets that I declined. They are all stunningly wonderful. And I would have been so atrocious. So she was asked to do it and said, no. I think she'd be great at that. Okay, at 19 minutes past nine, just to let you know, we will have Ranulph Fiennes, one of the great explorers of our time, on this radio show this morning, talking about the subject of his biography, which is, of course, Ernest Shackleton, who we've been talking a lot about in the last few months, having been to Athy, to the Shackleton Museum, and visiting an interest in all that polar exploration. So that will be of great interest this morning. Perfect for a Monday, I have to say. But now we'll begin, as is this song for a Monday, I think. Oh, that song is just so dreamy. It's beautiful. That's Villagers, and so simpatico at 22 minutes past nine this Monday morning. We spoke to Catherine Corliss on the Late Late Show not too long ago, and with her gorgeous husband, Aidan, two lovely people. And their son, Alan, was there, and he's made a short film to support the work of his mother in Tuam, which I think is kind of a filial loyalty in extremis for all the right reasons. It's a contemplation video for people to take a short moment from their day to watch and share and highlight the story of the Tuam babies. And he was saying that the film is for people who want to raise awareness, but also for those who say, let them rest in peace. So when you watch it, you'll see women and mothers and daughters affected down through the generations. And there's striking music by performance by a young girl called Rachel Gallagher, singing a version of Metallica's The Unforgiven, which is rather haunting. Anyway, it's a short film. It's called Free the Tuam Babies. That's on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and so on. And I just wanted to mention that as apropos of chatting to Catherine about her memoir called Belonging, which is also available now, and proceeds going to the Tiernan Oak charity. Elsewhere this morning, 51551, we bounce then over to the more frivolous subject of fruit flies. I will keep this brief. I will mention it once more, and then the subject is closed. And that is to say, suggestions on how to deal with them. One is throw the fruit out. So thank you for that's great help. I'll follow you over the ditch and into the Somme. In terms of leadership skills, as we'll be talking about Shackleton later. What should we do? Throw the fruit out. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ernest. Good idea. Cover your fruit with food covers. Oh, lads, you're all out this morning. Okay. Last one, and that's it. Fionnuala in Rathbarnham on the fruit flies. Hoover them. Just hoover them. It's the only thing that works. Suck the wee fellas up, the vacuum cleaner. You're welcome. Yeah, I think we'll just go with that, because if you can't get rid of them, you can't get rid of them. And the Hoover should do a job. Steve Coogan played the policeman in a recent drama about the murder of Stephen Lawrence. He was excellent. He's like a fine wine, says his text, getting better all the time. Very curious about the Jimmy Savile drama, though. Hopefully the stories of those abused by this despicable man will be told with sensitivity. Well, I think they will, because I've been reading a bit about it, and the effort they're going to behind the scenes to try and make sure that sensitivity is paramount has been dealt with, I hope. Anne Brophy's been on. Anne, we spoke to Anne last week because she was part of our competition on the James Bond ticket. She said, I will be at the premiere tomorrow night. I am so looking forward to seeing it tomorrow night, especially the popcorn and Maltesers. You see, that's it. Isn't that it? It's part of the whole experience, being in a cinema, getting the popcorn. So enjoy yourself. I hope you have a lovely night. In fact, one of our other winners had a lovely story about the fact that his son was living over in London, and they have been to go and see all the movies together since the son was a young lad. And he's flying home to use the other ticket that they won to be part of the premiere tomorrow night together, which is just very, very beautiful indeed. All right, it's 9:25.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
At 14 minutes to 10, in response to lots of comments regarding Ranulph Fiennes, does Ryan know that Ranulph was nearly James Bond but was beaten to it by Roger Moore? The only reason I know that is because we spoke to Ranulph Fiennes on the Late Late Show years and years ago, and that came up for mention along the way. Elsewhere on that subject, Shackleton set out on his rescue mission, says a text from Elephant Island, on the very same day as Padraig Pearse was reading the proclamation outside the GPO, Monday 24th, 1916, two Irishmen on very different missions. Well, nicely put text. I did not know that, but it's an intriguing figure. Shackleton Museum in Athy. Good morning. Seamus Taff has been on to say they'll be hosting a virtually Shackleton 2021 big day on the 30th of October. An online series of lectures and talks on all things Shackleton and Antarctic. And it's free, so check them out there. ShackletonMuseum.com. Sign up and get involved. They're great guys down there. You'll enjoy yourself immensely. And another says, great to hear Ranulph on Shackleton. Also, don't forget the Kenneth Branagh film, Shackleton, would be great to see that again. That is a two-part TV series, because I remember I was hunting it down. It's on 4 online, or Channel 4, I think. That's where you might get it. I didn't get to watch it, but I will. especially after that interview, kind of got me back in the zone again. So now, another things that's happening. RTE tonight, don't forget Cocooned, RTE 1, 9:35 tonight. That's something that will be a huge interest to people. Will says, I know you're a fan of Ken Wardrop, and that's a proud partner here. Good man. What I like about, anything Ken has done, I've loved. So we've spoken to him a couple of times. And Cocooned, as I understand it, is a documentary through within Ken's More Than Capable Hands, looking at older people and the pandemic and what they went through. So I think that's going to be tough going, but I think it's going to be probably beautiful if Ken's got anything to do with it, and possibly important for us to watch too. So that's tonight, 9:35. Just keep an eye on that. Andrew's in Bray, combining two topics we've been talking about this morning, kin and Macbeth. So what does he say? You can probably think about it already. And cleaning. Sorry, three topics. Kin, cleaning, and Macbeth. My theory, says Andrew, is the real reason Amanda cleans so much is, like Lady Macbeth, she seeks to wash the blood away from her hands. Isn't that out damn spot and all of the flowers and fragrance in Arabia and all that? Anyway, the guilt and consequences of it, the bloody actions she had inspired, will torture her mind. And like Lady Mac, she will descend into a mental hell for her actions. God, I like that. Well said. Richard Donner's first film was The Omen. Yeah, I saw that when the credits. And of course, wasn't indeed Superman was his big one. And that is, that's what I was thinking, going, okay, we're in good hands here. That'll be good fun. Thanks for featuring Shackleton. Glad you got to visit the museum over the summer, says Kevin. And last Friday was the 100th anniversary of Shackleton's departure from Plymouth on his final expedition. He died January 5th, South Georgia. So thank you indeed for that, and lots more coming in on lots of different things. But we're going to take a little music break, courtesy of this guy.
Yeah! Would you stop playing with that radio of yours? I'm trying to get to sleep.
Love that. 51551, it's George Michael and Too Funky at 7 minutes to 10 o'clock. Thanks for that text. Or that's an email. Been driving for nearly 40 years on a full license, and I recently put up L plates on my cars. My daughter's learning to drive. And it's an eye-opener, the number of times cars have dangerously overtaken me to pull in, or not to mention some cars driving on my rear bumper. I actually think it's more dangerous to display L plates. Absolutely. If drivers can remember, once upon a time, they were L drivers too. Show a little courtesy and there'd be much more manners on the road. Simple as that. I do. My heart goes out to Karens everywhere. I mean, most of all the names in all over, you'd be going, why do they pick mine? It's like hurricanes and other natural disasters. I'm gutted, says Karen from Kildare. I'm a Karen. It means pure. It means pure. I was born on a Friday, which means I'm loving and giving. Please don't disillusion me. No, do you know what you need to do? Is speak to the manager. My 10-year-old son tells me to stop being a Karen when I'm giving out, which is quite often when it comes to my David. He's the youngest of four and has been angry with me from the get-go, as he's the last in the pecking order. Someday, he's going to ask to speak to my manager. He is. And all your life, you're his Karen. Thank you for listening this morning. Stay tuned to Claire Byrne. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.